Welcome to the Tech Policy Podcast, your source for policy rants and raves from Tech Freedom, your Washington, D.C. advocate for the freedom to tinker and innovate. I'm Evan Schwartztrauber, your host. On today's show, when a company gives away free stuff and somehow gets in trouble for it, joining me in our studio is Baron Soka, closet socialist and founder and president of Tech Freedom. Baron, thanks for joining me.
You really got me that time.
So, most Americans have a cell phone plan that caps the amount of high-speed data they can use in a month, whether that's 2 gigabytes, 5 gigabytes, etc. And the quickest way to burn through that cap is to stream audio or video using apps like Spotify or Netflix, where things like email don't take up much data at all. T-Mobile, recognizing this, has two programs to help mitigate that. One is called Music Freedom, which deals with apps like Pandora and Spotify, and the other is Binge On, which deals with apps like Netflix and HBO Go. And essentially, T-Mobile users get to stream as much music or video as they want from participating apps without that counting against their data plan. So if you have 3 gigabytes a month, you can use that for everything else you do, like email and photos, and you don't eat that all up on video and audio. In response to Binge On, the Electronic Frontier Foundation came out swinging, saying T-Mobile is throttling video streams, plain and simple. Here's what T-Mobile CEO John Legere had to say about that.
So what Binge On does, it includes a proprietary technology, and what the technology does is not only detect the video stream, but select the appropriate bit rate to optimize to the video, the mobile device. That's part A of my answer. Part B of my answer is, who the fuck are you anyway, EFF? Why are you stirring up so much trouble, and who pays you?
So T-Mobile's giving away free data to its customers. How is this possibly a problem, Baron?
Well, it's only a problem if you take the most absolutist, essentially religious view of net neutrality possible, which is that any form of, quote, throttling must be bad, even if it's really good for consumers, even if it actually helps a company like T-Mobile compete in the marketplace and draw customers away from the market leaders, Verizon and AT&T, without actually harming anybody. And oh, by the way, which EFF doesn't really make clear, you can opt out. Binge On is turned on by default, but it's something that you can turn off if you want to. If you do, it means that you don't get any of that video for free. So the deal here, and the thing that the trade-off that EFF isn't really making clear, is in exchange for getting that unlimited video streaming that doesn't count against your cap,
right?
EFF doesn't really admit that T-Mobile actually optimizes the quality of that video for the size of screen you're looking at. So instead of getting a 4K level stream or some very high resolution version,
1080p.
Yeah, you're getting essentially a DVD quality stream, looks great on your phone. It's not more than you need. If you wanted to stream something at extremely high quality level, let's say you're tethering and you want to stream it through your phone onto your computer or your TV with a bigger screen, you can do that. You can turn Binge On off, and then you get the full quality stream, but that counts against your data plan. If you want more data, you can buy more. It's a pretty American idea. You get what you pay for, except T-Mobile's giving even more, and EFF doesn't like that because their, again, fundamentalist vision of net neutrality has blinded them to what's really important, which is it good for consumers?
Right. So consumers, normally, if they don't have something like Binge On, when you stream a video, the app is just going to try to grab the highest quality possible, which could be very data intensive. And if you have something like 2 gigabytes a month, that's a few videos and you're done. So T-Mobile, recognizing that the biggest driver of mobile traffic in the country is trying to deal with this problem, there's congestion on their network. So they're going to say, look, someone who's got a phone screen, which is not that big, is really not going to notice a difference between highest quality video possible and DVD. So they automatically turn on the feature, thinking consumers are going to like it. And so far, consumers do seem to like it.
Yeah, so EFF always frames its arguments for net neutrality regulation in terms of incentives. They claim that broadband providers have an incentive to crack down on what internet users are doing. They don't really like to talk about all the incentives at play here. And there is a kind of market failure in a sense, in a very specific sense, which is that if you think about that example of video, I mean, in an ideal world, if we had enough time, we would already make these choices. We would turn the quality level down so that we didn't get more video quality than we needed for every video we stream, because it is costly to us. But that takes a lot of time and effort to think about. And so the kind of failure that T-Mobile is really dealing with here is they're doing that for you. They're giving you a more efficient way to get the level of quality that most people actually want, not more than that. You don't count that against your data plan at all. You get as much of it as you want. And then you get more data overall. The important thing here, really, at the end of the day, is the numbers. And the numbers are pretty clear. Number one, lots of people are switching to T-Mobile because of these two programs. So T-Mobile has now become the third biggest carrier, surpassing Sprint. And number two, people are streaming more video here, not less. So this isn't about T-Mobile trying to crack down or create artificial scarcity. It's about getting consumers to use its network more.
So if the absolutist view of net neutrality is that all internet traffic be treated exactly the same, period, no exceptions, is T-Mobile violating net neutrality here?
Well, there are two different answers to that question. There's a policy analysis and a legal analysis. And the policy answer is, if your concept of net neutrality has anything to do with consumers, then no, clearly what T-Mobile is doing is not a problem. It shouldn't be illegal.
Right, because consumers can turn it off if they want to, and if it was really a problem, you would be seeing a consumer backlash, which you just aren't.
Yeah, and it has all sorts of other benefits for consumers. No one's really being harmed here. It's not clear what EFF's complaint is. They do say sometimes that some video providers are not opting into the program and that somehow T-Mobile should be required to get everyone to sign off. It's hard to see how anyone's actually being harmed. T-Mobile's not charging them money. T-Mobile is only asking them to sign up for the program to make sure that T-Mobile is actually identifying all the video streams and not missing some, because you can imagine a situation where
right.
The T-Mobile technology looks for all video traffic, doesn't catch some of them, and that means that consumers end up having some of that streaming on their bill.
Yeah, if T-Mobile doesn't correctly identify a video as video, you could see a scenario where a consumer thinks they're participating under Binge On, but in reality that video is going to eat their entire month's worth of data in 2 hours.
Exactly, and that's the only reason that T-Mobile is asking video providers to sign up. It's in order to do what technologists would call a basic handshake. You give the company a list of your video streaming services and protocols, and then it's easy for them to identify it. You prevent any consumer complaints. So that's the policy analysis. But you're also asking a legal question. So the first question is this throttling? Because the FCC's rules that they issued back in 2015 ban throttling. Now, the FCC's rules back in 2010 didn't. They had a no-blocking rule and a non-discrimination rule. And the FCC, when it was hashing out all of what it was going to do after the president intervened, it essentially came up with this new idea of throttling. And that's something that sounds great on paper. Everyone would agree we don't want video or any other kind of traffic throttled by broadband providers. Except in practice, it's actually pretty messy. Well, what does that mean? Is this throttling?
Right. Is it that they're slowing down internet traffic, or is it that they're just changing the resolution of a video? They're not necessarily the same thing.
Well, here they are clearly slowing down some traffic. So in a very literal textbook sense, of course this is throttling. But the rule isn't just about that textbook definition of throttling. It's about throttling that would actually be a problem for the user. And so when you read the Open Internet Order, if you want to learn more about this, go to paragraph 122. And that's where the FCC tries to explain what the no-throttling rule is supposed to do. And it talks about instances where a broadband provider is targeting particular applications or even services, like you could say an entire class of video. But then it specifically says that the rule does not address a practice of slowing down an end user's connection to the internet based upon a choice made by the end user. And they give the example of if the broadband provider offers a data plan where you get a set amount of data at one speed and then more data at another speed, that's not covered, and they cite a T-Mobile plan there. And then they say something like, if the commission were concerned about those, we have other ways of reviewing them. That's the general conduct rule, so we don't need to put all of our weight on the no-throttling rule. And then there's this one sentence, and this is the heart of the legal debate here. The FCC then says, in contrast, if a broadband provider degraded the delivery of a particular application, like all VoIP service.
VoIP meaning like Skype, Google Hangouts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
or a class of applications, like all VoIP service instead of just one particular VoIP service, that would violate the no throttling bright line rule. And essentially, EFF is reading that paragraph to say, well, the FCC says that if you're throttling an entire class of data, it doesn't matter whether the user has any choice in the matter at all, that violates the rule. So there are two ways to read this. One is the hyperliteral reading, that EFF is right, doesn't matter whether users choose anything. That's crazy. I mean, if you read that one sentence in isolation, that's what the rule says. But that's a crazy way to write this, because the whole point here was about user empowerment. It always has been. So why are we concerned about a situation where users are choosing something? We could quibble about whether they're informed enough and whether it's disclosed, but if they're choosing it, they should be able to get that. And in fact, EFF, in some of their policy arguments here, what they say is that they want a rule where users have to opt in. But if that reading of the rule is right, it doesn't matter whether users opt in, because either way, whether it's opt in or opt out, it would be illegal. So the other way to read this, and I think is consistent with the overall paragraph, is that the FCC is saying that they're talking about programs where there is no user choice. And that particular sentence just presumes that an entire class of traffic being throttled couldn't possibly reflect user choice. And that, I think, simply reflects a failure of imagination that the FCC really didn't foresee how the internet would develop.
And net neutrality, the fervor around that issue was always about protecting consumers from mostly theoretical harms that might happen in the future. So blocking traffic. T-Mobile's not blocking traffic. No T-Mobile customers are going to certain websites or services and finding that they can't get in. T-Mobile's not discriminating, because any service that wants to participate in either Music Freedom or Binge On that meets the specs, and the specs are only to make sure they correctly identify the service so that they don't unnecessarily charge the user, any service that meets those requirements can join. So they're not discriminating. The real question, as you've illustrated, is this throttling? And it's really unclear, partly because the way that the rules are written is unclear.
Yeah, and it's worth pointing out that the particular example they give, where they talk about a broadband provider throttling an entire class of traffic, and that's one sentence says that would violate the rule, that is contemplating something the FCC dealt with back in 2005, which is where a broadband provider, in that case was called Madison River, suppressed a voice over internet telephone service because that telephone service was competing with the broadband service. In other words, they were really saying, we're going to draw a strict line, create what lawyers would call a per se rule, and say it's always illegal because there was an anti-competitive motivation. But here, in fact, T-Mobile wants you to use more video. That's what's happening with this service. It's not like T-Mobile is stopping you from using a service that competes with the service they're selling.
Right. T-Mobile doesn't have a video streaming service that they're giving preferential treatment to over Netflix in a way to try to give them a competitive edge. The motivation here, you could say, there's some good motivations here. T-Mobile is the third largest carrier, as you say. They're competing with Verizon and AT&T. And anyone who's been watching TV has seen all these ads where Sprint, T-Mobile, Verizon, AT&T, they're trying to get your business. They're trying to poach customers. This is a healthy, competitive market. And this is one way they compete, because this is an innovative service that might draw some customers. Another motivation is, like I said, the number one driver of mobile traffic is video. So how can they make their network work better? By reducing the congestion and optimizing the video. Critics want to call it downgrading, optimizing, whatever term you use, can really mitigate that congestion.
Yeah, now this is important. EFF tries to preempt that argument, and they say, well, the throttling rule does apply. And they say, well, there is a reasonable network management exception. But EFF says, that doesn't apply here because T-Mobile is doing this even in cases where there is not congestion on the network. And so for EFF, they say game over, you're violating the rule, you don't satisfy the requirements of the one exception for it, it's illegal.
Right, but how could T-Mobile possibly know every instance where there's congestion and turn the service on and off that seamlessly?
And that's exactly the point here, is EFF is operating with a very rigid understanding of what network congestion looks like. Frankly, it's one that maybe looks more realistic in the wireline, home cable, DSL context. But here on mobile networks, and the FCC says this in its open internet order, you can have congestion that changes literally second by second.
Yeah.
So you can't even imagine a user-friendly way to do this where the quality of the video changes intermittently during the video being played, and some parts of the video streaming count against your data cap and other parts don't. So it's just not realistic for EFF to think that there's a better way to do this. And I think in general here, we ought to have a certain presumption that the people who are in the marketplace, who are building services for consumers, know what they're doing, and absent some reason to think that they're actually trying to harm consumers or that they have anti-competitive intent, we shouldn't be substituting the judgment of bureaucrats in Washington for engineers.
Yeah, when you have pundits reacting to this program in a negative way, a lot of people at, you know, certain groups that oppose BingeOn will say things like, well, if T-Mobile can afford to give away free video, why doesn't it just give an unlimited plan to anyone? I mean, if their engineers thought that was feasible and the company thought they could do that and make a profit, wouldn't they probably already have done that? It's crazy when you have just Washington interest groups second-guessing the decisions of a business without understanding how it works.
Except that's what happens every day.
Right.
Most of telecom policy revolves around people who live in fantasy land, who imagine that you can just provide absolutely unlimited service everywhere and that there's no cost to that. The reality is there is a cost to that, and that cost gets passed on to consumers, and the company that succeeds is the company that offers the most attractive package at the lower price. That's just capitalism. It's something that a lot of people in tech policy debates don't like and are fundamentally hostile to.
So the Open Internet Order, or what the FCC will call net neutrality regulations, basically said that programs like BingeOn, Music Freedom, Zero Rating in general, where certain services, the data is not going to count, or the data is not going to count against your cap, that world is going to be judged on a case-by-case basis. So where is this going?
Yeah, so that's the third question. That's the general conduct standard I alluded to. So that's why the no throttling rule doesn't need to cover situations like this, because the FCC has said it will take this more holistic view. And that holistic view would look at competitive effects, would say, is this good for consumers? Does this help in the marketplace? They look, for example, at T-Mobile's data, which shows that a huge number of the new customers going to T-Mobile specifically cite Music Freedom
right.
and BingeOn as reasons for choosing T-Mobile. So in theory, we should rest reasonably well assured here that the FCC would do the kind of thing that antitrust regulators would do, and they'd weigh the pros and cons here, and they would generally side on with companies and just let them innovate. Unfortunately, it's not so clear that's what's going to happen, because this is a little legally unclear, as I say, that question about whether the throttling rule applies. The FCC has some discretion here to decide what they want to do. They're in a difficult position. The chairman, Tom Wheeler, when these programs were announced, when Music Freedom first came out, he praised it as being pro-consumer. And in many ways, it's not surprising, because T-Mobile has been the darling of the many critics of the current media landscape, people who want there to be another competitor.
Yeah, they're branded as the Un-carrier. They do things differently. So that makes a lot of people who normally don't like companies like Verizon and AT&T, you know, that endears them to T-Mobile.
And so the FCC is in a tough spot. There will be a lot of pressure on them, and maybe from some of the other two Democrats on the commission might try to push the FCC to do something here. It's pretty clear that they're going to need to get some concession from T-Mobile. So I suspect what you'll probably end up seeing is, even though T-Mobile, I think, has a solid legal case here that what they're doing is legal, and an even better policy case that it should be legal, I think you'll probably see them be forced to make some changes to their program so that the politicians at the FCC can say that they won and they can keep the base happy.
And the lack of clarity is in and of itself a problem. Even if T-Mobile comes out on top, the fact that there's no clear standard here is going to discourage other companies, smaller players who don't have the resources of a company like T-Mobile, from doing this type of thing, because it's an innovative business model. But why should anyone take the risk of starting a zero rating program if they can't get anything from the FCC about whether it's legal or not? And the FCC sends letters of inquiry to companies like T-Mobile, Comcast, and AT&T asking for information about their business models. And that sounds benign. Oh, all they're doing is asking for information. But just that inquiry in and of itself could discourage innovation.
Well, that's clearly its intent. The FCC has, in many ways in the past before, has exercised that kind of regulation by intimidation, by raised eyebrow. For example, MetroPCS, which T-Mobile bought, was the number five carrier. And back in 2011, they had a very innovative program that involved giving away YouTube to new subscribers. They were targeting specifically urban audiences, trying to get people online for the first time. And they had a very, very constrained network. So they had to figure out a way to make YouTube work on their network. It was very parallel to what T-Mobile is doing today,
right,
and targeting many of the same audiences. And the fact of the matter is that they were very clearly operating within the law, according to the net neutrality regulations that the FCC issued in 2010. And yet the same groups that are criticizing T-Mobile today stirred up such a hornet's nest about this,
yeah,
that MetroPCS gave up on that program. And indeed, they gave up in general and they sold themselves out to T-Mobile. So you've seen this play out here in the US. You see the same debate playing out around the world. And what we do here in the US, the way the FCC regulates this, really will necessarily influence how all carriers around the world try to get new customers onto their networks.
Yeah, and if the United States creates such a stigma around something that could easily be argued as pro-consumer, like zero rating, you know, maybe that doesn't have that damaging of an effect in the United States because most people have access to the internet and most people have access to more than one option. But you look at countries like India, 20% of the country is connected to the internet right now. Facebook had a similar situation where they wanted to get people online. So they said, we're going to classify a bunch of services as free. And anyone who uses these, it won't cost them data. And it's an on-ramp. It gets them into the internet. It gets them interested so that they want more. And because we create such a stink around things like this in the United States, there are people in India saying, you're violating net neutrality. You know, you don't really have the luxury of being absolutist about net neutrality when only 20% of your country is connected.
Yeah, well, but it's true here in the U.S. too. There are a lot of people here who are not connected. What you see playing out in both cases really is sanctimonious digital elitism of mostly white people who live in cities for whom the internet is fiber to the home, high-speed networks, who really don't understand the reality, which is that for a lot of disadvantaged people in the United States, a lot of people around the world, mobile is the way to get online, and it's not easy. You got to give people a compelling reason to do it. You got to give them tools that will not count against their data caps. They get very, very intimidated by that. Simply giving up on data plans and giving everyone unlimited data, it just isn't realistic. No. The networks don't have the capacity to do that. So you need ways to do it like this one. And it's worth noting that when I went in to talk to the FCC about this, I was in that meeting with Jesse Jackson. The civil rights community, the Minority Media Telecommunications Council here in the United States, groups like that have all been very supportive of programs like Binge On, Music Freedom, and other forms of zero rating. Not to say that there couldn't be a problem potentially, and you could imagine scenarios where if they were configured differently, there might be a potential issue.
Right.
But that's always true. There's always potentially a role for government. It's just, it's stupid to ban these things in advance or take such an absolute interpretation of the FCC's rules that you prohibit them.
Yeah, a one-size-fits-all internet experience might not be the best way, and innovative offerings, differentiated offerings, ones that you know help with video, ones that help with music, that has a better chance of getting to the consumer preferences than just saying the internet has to be a dumb pipe and everyone gets the same experience. Well, that's it for today's show. Follow us on Twitter at TechFreedom or on Facebook.com/TechFreedom. Find this podcast in the iTunes store or on your favorite app, and please write us a review. It will be really helpful to us. Thank you for listening.
The Tech Policy Podcast is produced and distributed by Tech Freedom, a nonpartisan, nonprofit, tax-exempt think tank based in Washington, D.C. To learn more about our work in tech policy and for more episodes, find us online at techfreedom.org.